And who doesn't want less trash?
Yeah.
Hello, and welcome back to The Food Fix, the show where I talk to lots of different folks about innovative ways to better feed the world. I'm Anna Leonis, and love is in the air. This episode is literally airing on Valentine's Day, and I'm feeling very lovey-dovey toward all of you for sticking with me and learning how to better our food system each week. And nothing goes better with love than chocolate. So bear with me while I slip into my Willy Wonka persona and take you on a journey down the chocolate river. According to a study done by CandyStore.com, 58 million pounds of chocolate are bought during Valentine's Day week worldwide. But the quality of that chocolate is still up for debate. In my search for a sweet treat this season, I discovered a chocolate bar that's good for both your body and the earth. I talked with Greg Short and Yolanda Neumuller, founders of Phenabar, a chocolate bar whose wrapper can be planted to grow wildflowers, about why their chocolate is good from the inside out.
I'm Greg, obviously one of the co-founders. And that's Yolanda. You know, she's my co-founder, and as we call her, the tasty director. She's the one that created all of our incredible flavors and recipes for Phenabar.
Is there a story behind that name?
So Phena is my youngest daughter, and she's also Greg's goddaughter.
When we were trying to come up with names, we were going back and forth with all kinds of different names, and suddenly I was like, Phenabar, and it just kind of rolled off the tongue, and we're like, that's it.
I love that. Why did you make Phenabar?
It started kind of, I don't want to say by accident, but you know, during the pandemic when we were all locked down, I was living in a very tiny little space at the time and going nuts. And I thought, well, what if I rented an RV and filled it with food? You know, it'd be like a little COVID bubble, like a little apartment on wheels. And I thought, you know, I've never been to the Grand Canyon. Maybe I'll go to the Grand Canyon. I've always wanted to go to Sedona. I'll do that. And I went and had the most amazing time of my entire life. I had the Grand Canyon, literally all to myself. It was incredible. And with Yolanda's encouragement, she said, you know, why don't you go somewhere else? Go to another park. So I went to another park, had an amazing time at that park. And then she's like, go to another one, find another one. So I ended up going for almost 4 months and just kept hitting all these national parks and climbing mountains and going in the forests and the giant sequoias. And there were also a lot of things along the journey that sort of, no pun intended, planted a lot of seeds in my brain about the environment and nature and climate change and what's happening and my goddaughter. And I just thought, I get to enjoy all these incredible parks, all of this nature. And what happens if it's not here for the next generation? What happens if my goddaughter can't come here and see these incredible parks that have inspired me like this? And when I was coming out of Kings Canyon off the last mountain, when I checked into my cabin there, they had given me a small sapling and they said, if you plant this somewhere, tag us and we'll plant one as well. Another seed planted in my head. And so when I was coming off that last mountain, I just had this bizarre thought of being alone so long and just thought, you know, why does all packaging have to stick around so long? Like, it's just, I don't understand. Like, why can't we make packaging that disappears? And wouldn't it be cool if it like could grow something like this little sapling? How amazing. And I called Yolanda in Munich and left her a voice message because she was asleep. And I said, I had this crazy idea. And wouldn't it be cool if blah, 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 blah. And then they reached out to me, her and her husband were like, that's a great idea. Let's do this. And she was like, I can work on the chocolate. You figure out the packaging, which was crazy because no one's ever done this before. And there was a lot of trial and error. And after, you know, 2 years, we finally nailed it.
Your cacao is Rainforest Alliance certified. What exactly does that mean and why is that important to you?
So a big thing for us, and well, for any of us, but a big thing for us especially is kindness. And that, you know, a big part of this company is about that, right? Kindness to people, kindness to the planet. Like, what footprint are we leaving behind? And so it was important for us that every stage of our chocolate making process was kind, right? So Rainforest Alliance chocolate, there's actually very few companies, it's less than 5%, right, has Rainforest Alliance. And it was a huge part for us. And it basically means that every part of your chocolate making process is certified. It guarantees the workers' rights. It guarantees that the actual growing of the cacao in its original state is fair. It's fair to the earth. You know, it's not overgrowing. It's not deforesting. It means that the whole process is protected, basically.
One of the reasons why chocolate is so cheap, because quite frankly, the chocolate industry is actually pretty bad. Yeah. I mean, it's really pretty bad. I mean, they really treat the people that that grow the cocoa and pick the cocoa poorly. I mean, they a lot of companies do use child labor and, because and forced labor.
It's people intensive. It's yeah,
exactly.
It can't be done by machines. It's not possible. It has to be done by hand. And that obviously leaves a lot of room for bad operations, you know, and bad behavior in the businesses.
Chocolates should not be as cheap as they are. No. They just shouldn't. But it's because of the practices that take place. So you'll notice most Rainforest Alliance and Fair Trade certified chocolate, you know, they're more expensive. And that's why. But yeah, it's worth it.
Yeah. So we have two things on that. So we've got the Rainforest Alliance. And for our product, which is another part of what we talk about, is we actually have the cocoa butter in our product. A lot of chocolates, a lot of, I would say, sort of the biggest chocolate brands that we all know from probably our childhood, or sort of, you know, cheap snacking chocolate that you think of if you talk to kids about chocolate, they are able to make chocolate at that price, partly because of the way that they treat their employees, partly because of the fact that they remove the cocoa butter and they sell it to the beauty industry. And the beauty industry relies incredibly heavily on cocoa butter. Every single one of us has products in our house with cocoa mm-hmm. butter in it, because it melts perfectly at skin temperature. And it doesn't leave any residue. So you can just rub cocoa butter, you know, every lip balm, every moisturizer, anything that's got cocoa butter in it. And so because it's such a huge part of the beauty industry, they buy it very happily from the cocoa industry. But that leaves these big, big companies with black cocoa powder and nothing else. And they have to turn that into, you know, sweet treats. And that just requires a lot of sugar, a lot of vegetables.
And like palm oils and vegetable oils and all that stuff is how they sort of create their synthetic creaminess. Whereas we don't do that. We have none of that in our chocolate. We keep the actual cocoa butter in it. And anyone that really knows chocolate will say the best chocolates in the world, the real chocolates in the world, have cocoa butter in it. They don't take it out.
So where is the chocolate made then? Your chocolate?
Here in California.
Yeah.
And we make it. Everything's based here in California. So our chocolate, we actually make up in Northern California in Petaluma. And then I'm based here in Los Angeles. And then our packaging is done in San Diego, California.
So the wrapper, how do you plant that? And then how long does it take to actually grow the wildflowers?
So there are a couple of ways you can plant it, actually. You can put it just in like a shallow bowl of water, just enough to cover the packaging. And then you put it in a windowsill with plenty of light. And we say it can take up to 2 weeks, but we've generally found within 4 days, it's already starting to sprout. And then once it starts to sprout, then you can transfer it to like a little pot or outside into your yard and just, you know, cover it with, you know, enough topsoil, keep it moist, plenty of light. And within days, we say 2 weeks, but it's really never taken that long. You've got wildflowers sprouting up and growing. And the packaging is a 95% germination rate. So it's not 100%. Yeah. So you could get the one rare package that may not grow, or maybe one seed may grow, but it's 95%, which is quite massive.
Still, it's water soluble, so it won't be polluting the earth, correct?
No, it'll biodegrade into the soil. And all of the colors on the packaging are all vegetable and mineral dyes. So they came from the earth, they'll go back into earth. And then the black ink is soy ink as well. And then the inside of the bar, you know, you see the silver, what people think is foil or silver wrap, and it's not, it's actually a flow wrap. And so a lot of people will say to us, yeah, but what about your foil, or what about your plastic? Well, that's 100% compostable. So you can home compost it or industrial, and it's not just compostable, but it's also biodegradable. So if you don't compost it and you just throw it away, once it gets into the environment, into the, you know, the earth, and gets moisture and sunlight, it will biodegrade in 1 to 3 years, gone, disappear. Unlike other plastics that last for hundreds, thousands or forever. Ours will disappear in 1 to 3 years. And as it's breaking down and decomposing, it puts moisture into the soil, and it also feeds nutrients to the microorganisms. So it's almost like a little mini fertilizer. So it can like fertilize your actual wildflowers. It's kind of genius.
And because I know all you listeners care about invasives just as much as I do after last week's episode, the wildflower seed mixture is non-invasive and not genetically modified.
It's good inside and out, all the way through.
We are like carbon negative, like completely. And also the factories where we make the packaging is run partially by solar and hydroelectricity as well. And then all the water that is used is recycled water.
Greg and Yolanda don't want this genius technology to be limited to their company or even industry. Their goal is to be the example that motivates larger companies whose packaging produces so much waste to change their ideas about packaging.
You guys are like the pinnacle of a zero waste company. Like other companies should be looking to you to see.
Well, that's not our goal.
That's what we talk about. We don't want to keep this for us. Like, we're not like, this is our packaging. No one's allowed to use it. Like, we actually want, the bigger that we become, to put more pressure on the industry. And we talk about it a lot, that why are egg boxes, why don't they grow cress? Or why don't, you know, oat milk cartons, why can't you plant those and grow oats? Like, it actually doesn't make any sense, because we're not only are we making it plantable, but we're removing landfill and making it plantable. So if the bigger industry leaders removed landfill and then grew something.
It's not just wildflower seeds that can be used in this packaging. Imagine buying a pair of shoes and planting the box they came in to grow a tomato plant.
Not only are you then reducing landfill, but you're actually reducing food hunger. So people could plant their shoebox and grow strawberries or grow herbs.
Lettuce, tomatoes, like there's all kinds of things. We just chose wildflowers because we thought it'll be a little strange to have tomato seeds and chocolate. You also don't have to put seeds in it if you don't want to, right?
It could just be
biodegradable. So it's not like everyone has to be like, oh, it's great, but I don't want to do the seeds. Then don't do the seeds.
Yeah.
But it can still disappear and biodegrade.
We just want to put that pressure to make it from reclaimed goods and make it plantable, like biodegradable. It's a game changer.
So it is replicable. Is it just more expensive? What's holding these companies back?
Slightly more expensive.
Yeah, slightly more expensive.
Obviously, you have to work slightly harder to get the exact packaging. And I think for a lot of industries, they've done things a certain way and it works. And so they aren't necessarily looking to innovate in packaging. I don't think packaging is like at the forefront of their mind. They innovate in product.
Yeah. And because it's so new, like any product, once it's new and it comes to the market, it's more expensive, right? Yeah. And as it grows and technology changes, and if more companies do jump on board, it will become less expensive and the technology will advance where it will be easier to do the things that we have done that were so difficult to do and be able to do new things with it. So that's kind of what, I mean, we're a small little company. Hopefully we'll grow huge and we'll be able to do those things. But if not, we're hoping bigger companies will come on board and see it and be like, oh,
and we can help.
We need to figure out how to do what they've done, but make it work for us. Like, how do we invest in this technology to make this kind of packaging and make it better?
One thing I love about this concept is when you're done enjoying your chocolate, the experience isn't over. You get to continue the process by planting your wrapper and seeing beautiful wildflowers grow. This introduces accountability and connection between what you're eating and the impact it leaves on the earth. Personally, I feel much better about leaving flowers behind than something that will rot away in a landfill for years to come.
Where could somebody buy Phenobar right now?
So currently we're just in stores in, you know, the Los Angeles area, Santa Barbara area, and San Ynez, because we only launched about 3.5-4 months ago. So we're in several stores in Los Angeles. We're in a grocery store up in San Ynez, and surprisingly, a bunch of wineries. So obviously the plan is to expand to more stores, you know, obviously throughout California. We want to get out, you know, across the United States, but we're a very tiny little team. We just secured an online distributor because originally we weren't going to do online sales at all. We thought just stores, but we've had such a huge response on our website and our social media from people from all over the world asking how they can order it. So that should hopefully be happening soon.
I'm very excited for that. So how much will they retail for each bar?
So right now we have a suggested retail price of $7.99.
This packaging seems like a great solution to waste, but will consumers be willing to pay $8 for a 2-ounce bar of chocolate? The most sold chocolate bar worldwide is Snickers, and a king-size bar retails for about $2. You could also buy a 6-pack of Hershey's bars for $6. On paper, that's way more bang for your buck. But expensive chocolate is not unheard of. Name brands like Ghirardelli and Godiva offer chocolate that rival Phenobar's price, but they lack the innovative packaging. Phenobar is relying on people caring about the quality of chocolate as well as its positive environmental impact. Their success will be determined by how effectively they can convey their mission of zero carbon to their consumers.
What is your vision for Phenobar in the next 3 years?
I think there are products that we definitely want to put onto the market. We'd love to do like advent calendars. And it's sometimes for us, it's just the bigger picture. We know that if you really think about certain products, advent calendars, you enjoy the chocolate and then you're left with a lot of packaging. Whereas we would do it that you enjoy the chocolate and then you plant mm-hmm. the whole thing. And like Greg was saying, just more store presence, making it more available to people. And, you know, we know the power of it.
We'd like to do like, you know, bite-sized chocolates, you know, those would be called Fina Bites, you know, and we don't want to just limit this to the United States because I said, we've gotten such a huge response from other countries saying like, is this going to come to the UK? When is this going to come to Turkey? When is this coming to Australia? When is this coming to, so we would hopefully like to expand and become a global brand with this, truly.
I think that once people hear even just the basics of your story, they will be very invested because it's just something that we all kind of need and want is a better earth right now.
And who doesn't want less trash?
Yeah. You do have to change the way you're interacting with your food. We're asking a lot of people, we're asking people to completely change the way that they're interacting with their packaging. And that's a lot to ask from people, that change in mentality. But we don't need to be perfect. Nobody needs to be perfect eco warriors in every single way. But if everybody and every company just makes a tiny difference, just that's what leads to huge change.
To conclude, I just want to know, what is your favorite flavor, the Fina Bar?
Mine is cherry and quinoa. Mm-hmm. I love the cherry and quinoa.
Mine is the milk chocolate with candy cane and orange.
Oh, that sounds like my favorite too.
The chocolate that leaves you with fresh breath.
Well, that's a wrap on this food fix. Enormous thank yous to Yolanda and Greg for talking with me. I enjoyed learning about your vision, and I look forward to watching your company grow. I encourage you all to keep a lookout for Fina Bar, which will be sold online very soon. Thank you, Freezer Bees, your rock stars. And thank you, Night Center. This job has opened me up to so many interesting topics. I'm like a kid in a candy store. Until next week, I've been your host, Anna Leonis.